Dude, I was not a Thrasher guy growing up. I just wasn't. I liked the Pictures and Transworld. They you know, Transworld was more my shit.
I was a Thrasher guy.
Okay. Yeah, and that,
because that's all Del Mar drama though, because you know, Dave Swift didn't like me and told me I'd never be in Transworld, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I heard he told Sal that too.
I was a pain in the ass, but you fuck with me, I come harder. That's the way, even when I was the little kid. Like, I'm coming right back at you harder. And I, you know, I was probably pretty fucking annoying to those guys.
I mean, then again, they were like kind of the in-between guys, too. You know, if you think about it. I was talking to Tony Roberts about this last night. Oh, no, 2 nights ago. And I was like, dude, if you think about it, like, the guys like yourself and the guys that were, like, right, that weren't the older guys, not the little tiny bit older guys.
Yeah.
But the guys that were, like, late 70s and coming into early 80s, and they, you know, they kind of, like, bullied you guys. You know what I'm saying? Let's be serious. They tried to bully you guys a lot. They literally did. And then
they did, and that's all good, though. I mean, that's the way it should be. There should be a little bit of that. You know, that's what made hard men.
Yes. But at the same time, it's like when you're fucking older and shit, you know what I mean? It's like, I think those guys still have that mentality.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm like old school, like early 80s, like when I started, but I was so much younger than those guys. But looking back now, I'm not. So I was, you know, 12, 13, they were 16, 17. It's not that big difference now. But back then it was. What's crazy is my mom gave me shit about letting my kids do certain things, you know, when they're growing up. And I'm like, wait a minute. You're the one that let your 14-year-old son bail out, go on tours with the older kids that were, what, 17? For months. And I let my kid go to the movie theaters without, you know, parents. And you're giving me hell about it?
So where did you grow up at, man? Did you grow up in Southern California?
I grew up in Del Mar.
Oh, wow. So you were there
yeah.
from the very beginning.
Well, I was born in Maryland, in Annapolis. And then my dad was in the military, and he moved to San Diego when I think I was like 7. And then, so I grew, well, at that time, I was living in Solana Beach, which is the town over from Del Mar. And Del Mar was on the borderline of Solana Beach and Del Mar. And I remember my mom took me to Del Mar when they opened it. But I watched. But then I didn't get a skateboard until later. I actually didn't get a skateboard. My little brother got a skateboard, and then I stole it and started going to Del Mar.
Was it like a huge deal when it opened? You know what I mean? Was it like fucking county fair and shit?
Well, the county fair is basically the Del Mar Fair. It's a San Diego fair now, but it used to be the Del Mar Fair. The parking lot is basically Del Mar Skate Park. Like, growing up, we would sneak into the Del Mar Fair like every day. We'd skate and then go over there, sneak in, cause trouble, and then come back to the park.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I mean, it was right next door. It was right next to it.
That's such a bad idea to get dropped off at the skate park as a kid.
That was my babysitter. My mom would drop me off at whenever it opened, 9 or 10, and then she'd pick me up at 11 when it closed.
Was that, like, your first sponsor, too? I mean, clearly they didn't have, like, how was it back then? You know what I mean? Like, I'm very curious how it was back then, especially the mid-'80s. You know, the early to mid-'80s, I apologize.
Yeah, it was
You know what I mean? Like was the sponsorship thing a little different? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
no,
that's the most important thing, but
I was really lucky to grow up where I did, because it was kind of the hub, you know? And and most of the companies were out of Southern California. So, you know, I started skateboarding. It was probably a year after I started skateboarding, I got my first sponsor, which was Logan Erski. They were trying to make a comeback, and Bruce Logan asked if I wanted to ride for him, and I didn't really know what it meant, really, you know. So he gave me a couple boards, and he was just, like, super weird. I think he was all coked out. And so I asked him for another board, because I used to go through a lot of boards back then. I would throw my boards all the time. Like, whenever I'd bail, I'd throw my board. And so I went through a lot of boards, and I asked him for another board, and he gave me, you know, a hard time about I have to make him last. And I said, well, that's cool, I quit. And then he chased me around and tried to beat me up. I had already been asked by Tony Magnuson to ride for Uncle Wiggly, so that's what I wanted to do. It was like a local company, and they made cool boards. And
Uncle Wiggly or Piggly Wiggly, which one was first?
I never heard of Piggly Wiggly. It's a store.
Really?
Yeah. Piggly Wiggly is a store in the South.
Yes.
I don't think there was a skate company called that. There was a Pig Skates.
But there was Uncle Wiggly's, right?
Yeah, Uncle Wiggly, yeah.
I just wonder which one came first. Like, if one, like, you know what I'm saying?
I think Piggly Wiggly's been around forever, the store.
Okay. Do you think there's any reference there or any? No,
no, I think it's a Devo reference.
Oh, really?
Yes, I think. Because my first board said it's a Wiggly World, and I was always told it was a Devo reference, but I never really looked any further. So my first board just said it's a Wiggly World, and then it said designed by John Schultes, and they did that so I wouldn't have to go pro, and then that backfired because Frank Hawk made me go pro because my name was on a board.
Wow, really?
Yeah, because he ran NSA.
It's WCRP.
I talked to Steve Stedham. He told me that at one point that there was no more AMs for him to skate against, like everyone had turned pro, which I found very interesting. You know,
he was pro before me. There was like a gap, but no, there were still amateurs. I mean, Grosso ruled the amateurs for a long time, and there were still a lot of amateurs.
Well, hold on, Grosso was a kind of, I just found out Grosso wrote for Rareflex, and that just, it's very funny to find out these things. Not that I have any,
well,
you know, like, Rareflex is cool, Rareflex is not, but it's funny to hear people like, I posted a Veriflex board one day. I was like, yeah, man, this thing, you know, everyone, some people started, and that's what got them into skating. God forbid, it might not be cool.
Well, Veriflex was cool at one point.
That's what I'm trying to think. I'm like,
okay,
yeah.
Look, Veriflex had one of the best teams in history. Lance Mountain, Eric Grisham, Alan Losey, and I can't remember. And then Grosso was on that team, amateur.
Freddie,
I mean,
DeSoto, right?
I don't know. I don't know.
Was
it Lowe's
Veriflex? No.
Yeah, his dad owned it.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
So was he one of the first early entrepreneurs in skating? You know what I mean? Like,
no, 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 no. Alan didn't own it. His dad did.
Oh.
Yes, oh. And then, yeah, his dad owned it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And his parents like had a nasty split, right?
I don't really know that much. Alan was so rad. So his dad, you know, kind of went into the RC car market, and they had Team Losi. It was huge. Part of the Del Mar Skate Park, it was like a long building, and so there's the skate park, and then there was like an RC track or RC company, or like where they had racetrack where you could ride drive RC cars, and then there was the driving range on the other side for golf. And his dad rented out that RC, and then Alan and Eric Grisham ran the place for a long time.
What?
Yeah.
See, that era of skateboarding is fucking missing. It's literally missing. Something is not being told, like, between 81 and 84. There's a fucking chunk of the history missing that's never been told. I've never heard anyone speak on it. You know, like, between the late 70s, maybe early 80s, and 84,
I think it's all the way to 87. I think it's all the way to right before the Big Pow Animal Chin. And then, you know, 8th Street, I don't even know what year that came out.
Which is funny because that knocked Powell completely out of position. But
I mean, I don't know. I don't think anything knocked Powell out of the position. It just, it kind of left, it gave room for other companies. But Powell was still
very
Powell.
True.
Still had Stevie, still had Tony, you know, McGill. I mean, it was still the, I mean, they were still the big boys. It was just different. I wouldn't say they were corporate, but they were just so big that they felt, you know, they were a different level. And then 8th Street kind of was a ragtag, and I think it just connected more with, you know, kids, where we were more kind of obtainable, you know, 8th Street was, where people kind of, you know, felt like closer to 8th Street just because, you know, Powell was just kind of on a different, you know, on a different mountaintop than everybody else.
Yeah, it was like they were kind of untouchable to the average
yeah,
kid.
Yeah.
To me, they were like, yeah, you know, it was just like they were completely untouchable. You know, just growing up.
It was a bunch of kids that looked like every other kid.
Exactly.
You know?
So back to the early days, man. So you grew up skating Del Mar. That's very interesting. It's very, very interesting. I did not know that. I think this is a great question. How was it going from backyard pools? I mean, not backyard pools. I'm sorry. That's a stupid way to put it. How was it going from pools to backyard ramps? Yes.
I think if you can skate curves, bowls, anything, you can skate anything. And then you kind of see that now with all these kids that are doing the skate park stuff, you know, like the Olympic style. That when you can carve and you can kind of navigate, you know, way different obstacles all the time, I think that, you know, just a vert ramp becomes easier. Not that it wasn't a learning curve, but I think, you know, that's why there's so many good kids right now, like that Trey Wood. I got to watch him a couple weeks ago here, and he was just so good. And I think that flow and that breeds better style. 80s to early 90s, when it was, you know, cement, you can tell the guys that grew up on cement, like style-wise, like your Christians, your Millers, those guys that can, you know, hit corners at mock speed. And I think it just makes people skate better, or style-wise. Where
absolutely.
I think later when it was just vert, I think that's one of the reasons it kind of went away. It got stale.
See, when Danny brought it back with the mega ramp, I think Danny really did it justice for vert when, you know, because he tried to throw the
loop. That's different than vert. That's, you know.
But that helped
mega
vert
ramp
skating.
Psycho. Yeah,
yeah,
I do.
Yeah, you know, like the actual, not the jump, the fucking the vert part of it, like,
yeah.
Like that shit, like, yeah, made people step their game up, which is good, you know, for everyone.
You ever
got
seen that video of me on the mega ramp?
Hold on, what?
It's WCRP.
you ever seen the video of me on the mega ramp?
Did you make it?
Later, but Danny Way is Danny Way. There's nothing, nobody else like him. His brain works different. You know, you have your outliers, your Rodneys, your Dannys. You can't listen to them on how to do stuff because they'll get you hurt. And so Danny, you know, my first time going down, Danny tells me, you got to pump the kicker and just boost it. You ask anybody else, they say, do not pump the kicker, roll over it, or bad things that happen. Well, I listen to Danny because I guess I'm not smart enough to learn that 100 other times listening to him. So I pump the kicker and it puts me right into a backflip.
What?
Yeah. Full on backflip.
Is it worse than that girl slam?
Oh, I didn't get hurt. So I'm like flipping kind of backwards, and I wasn't skating very much. I had taken years off, and I just started skating again, and Danny and them go, hey, I got this mega ramp thing. Why don't you come? Not very many people know about it. You know, the video had come out just then, but nobody was allowed to skate the Point X ramp, really. So it was me, T-Mag, Owen Nieder, Danny, and I think that was it. And yeah, put me right into a backflip.
Wow.
Yeah.
Please send me that footage.
I don't know. It's messed up.
I think it'd be a great promo thing. Back to Del Mar, dude. Who did you grow up skating with besides Danny? You grew up skating with Danny?
Danny was later. Danny was later.
Okay, who are some of the guys
Danny,
who grew up skating with?
Well, you know, all the Del Mar locals, you know, Tony was there all the time. Not that we were super close. He was kind of older and I was just a kid. But Alan Losey, Billy Ruff, Eric Grisham, those are the guys that I looked up to. They were there all, they were always cool to me.
Why are they like that?
Well, I mean, think about it when you were 16, 17, and there's some 13-year-old little loudmouth brat, you know, and you make fun of that, and you make fun of the kid, and the kid's just talking shit nonstop back to you.
Sounds like a 13-year-old kid to me.
Yeah, but when you're 16, 17, you don't want to hear that.
But honestly,
I get it, but they would talk shit, and it's my point to, you know, I'm not going to sit there and take it. I never would. I'd rather just get my ass kicked, and you know what I mean? Just talk
shit. Do you feel as if that kind of carries on to now? I feel as if that kind of ego is kind of carried on with a lot of the older gentlemen now. You know, like, you can't challenge them. Like, they're like, they talk down on you. It's very strange. You know, it's very, very strange. And it's very, very strange. I was listening to I think it was a Chris Russell interview. And he was saying how, like, the old guys used to heckle him because he was a little shit. And da 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 da. And I'm just like, fucking losers. What a bunch of fucking losers. I mean, seriously,
yeah.
I was like, what a bunch of fucking losers, man. Like, really? But the old ass? Maybe it was just different when we were, you know, I think it was a lot different for street skaters. And I'm not trying to understand the minds of, I'm sorry?
I think it had to do with, I think street skating might have been different. I wasn't really super into street skating.
There was nowhere to, like, even when street skating became a thing, it sounded like Del Mar was like a poppin' place to fucking street skate. Let's be serious.
Well, no, I don't think so, but I think I was so bitter with skateboarding when all that started taking over. Not that I thought I probably could have rolled from vert into being like a, you know, a street skater that, you know, did much, but I was so just over the industry when skateboarding died that, you know, I didn't want to go street skate. I didn't even want to skateboard.
That's understandable.
Towards the end, I would go out and skate with my friends and, you know, do little rails and, you know, tried for fun, not ever thinking I was going to, you know, I would have to do those street contests, but when the street contests actually were more street, I knew I wasn't going to do anything or didn't want to compete. When it was big and there was transitions, then it was okay. When it was just a bunch of quarter pipes and a couple launch ramps, I could deal with that.
Well, you were pro what, give or take, 6 years, 6-7 years, right?
Let's say 85 to, what, 91?
91, 6 years, say 7 years, right? All right, put this in perspective. Even for now, that is a long career.
I see. People
don't think about that kind of stuff. The average 90s pro, you know, was the first batch of guys. At least 90% of them went on to maybe 93, 94, maybe. And then the class of 94, which I came from 93, 94, huge portion of those guys dropped off around 98, 99. Huge portion of them. And then you got the 98, 99 guys. Those guys disappeared early 2000s. So they had like a shorter time. The average pro's career now, you know, since the early 80s or the mid 80s, even the late 80s, is very short. You know, probably the first two or three really good, and then you're just riding for fucking whoever. So they don't have a good sustainable career. They don't ride for eight streets and shit like that and like get to walk off on top. You know,
I didn't walk off on top. I left 8th Street to go to Vision, and then they made me all these promises, and I didn't really want to go to Vision. I didn't want to leave 8th Street, but I was so upset with T-Mag about personal stuff. So I felt like I had to leave, and I got an offer from, you know, Vision that was pretty outrageous, where I was like, holy shit, you know? And then, you know, I get over there, and it wasn't what I thought it would be, and it just wasn't me, you know? And I had rode for Venture for a long time. You know, I was one... Gons was on there for, you know, and then I think it was Gons and Eddie Radigy were like the guys on Venture, and their trucks weren't very good. And then they came out, with a new truck, and Keith Cochran was like the new team manager, and he always like believed in, he always like pushed me. And so I went to Venture. And I rode for Venture for a long time. And he bought into Dogtown. And that's when Dogtown moved up to San Francisco, and Fausto and Keith bought into Dogtown. I was talking to Keith, just complaining about, you know, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have left 8th Street, even if it was bad, because this Vision thing sucks. And this is like a month in or 2 months in. And he's like, well, go to the airport. There'll be a ticket waiting for you. Come up to San Francisco and talk to Fausto and me and Red Dog. So I went up there, and then I took way less money to go ride for Dogtown. But, you know, for me, Dogtown was, like, special. I always loved all the Dogtown riders, and I just – their whole vibe, I was so into. And so I was stoked to ride for Dogtown. I was probably the most stoked to ride for Dogtown than any other team, just because of the legacy part of it. I'll tell you not the one.
Yeah.